Good morning. The first reading from today comes from Psalm 119, where it's written, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Turn my heart to your decrees and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities. Give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you. Turn away the disgrace that I dread, for your ordinances are good. See, I have longed for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from Romans, the 13th chapter. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Gospel according to Matthew, the 18th chapter. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. I had a preaching professor in seminary who said that the hardest job for a preacher is to give a children's message every week, because you have to come up with 52 different ways to say, "Jesus loves you," which is true, right? Kelsey's nodding her head. So thank you, Kelsey, because you always do such a wonderful job of conveying that message in creative and engaging ways, which is hard. It's very, very hard. And I really think the same thing could be said about regular sermons too. Oftentimes I feel like I get up here week after week and just say the same thing over and over again. God loves you. You are completely and unconditionally loved by God. And that same God calls you to love one another. That's it. Amen. Every single sermon, that's the bottom line. That's what Scripture tells us over and over again. And in today's reading from Romans, Paul says it flat out. All of the law is fulfilled with these words. Love your neighbor as yourself. That simple. Love each other. Love the other. Love one another. That's what all of this has been about, Paul writes. All of the prophets that God sent over the years, all of the Scripture that we've been given, all of the laws and the revelation of Jesus, all of it. It all boils down to this: love your neighbor as yourself. Be kind to one another. Be concerned about one another's well-being. Care about the person next to you out in the world. Care about their well-being as much as you care about your own. Like I said, it is that simple. But of course, simple is not the same as easy, right? We know that this is not easy. People are difficult, it turns out. Loving one another and being kind to one another is hard. It takes effort. It's work and it takes practice. So no, it is not easy. But it is simple. The good news that we have been given and the life that we have been called to is not complicated. So week after week, I get up here and I say the same thing, and I share the same message. God loves you unconditionally, more than you can ever know, and nothing, absolutely nothing you can do will change that. You are loved, and you are called to share that love. We are each called to share that love with one another and out in the world with everyone that we meet and in everything that we do. So if every children's message is a version of Jesus loves you, every sermon is a version of God loves you and you are called to share that love with your neighbor. Just think how much shorter worship would be if I just said that, right? But then in today's gospel reading, Matthew digs into some of the difficulty and the messiness of living out this simple commandment of loving our neighbor as ourselves. In this section of Matthew, he's writing about what it is to be a community of believers. A community of people who know the love of Jesus, the love that is revealed to us through Jesus that came from God. What it is to live as a community of people who know this and who are trying to follow Jesus with their lives. And the reality is, like I said, it's not easy. Even when we all know about it, even when we've all heard this good news of God's love week after week, we're still human, and we still have disagreements and arguments and conflicts. So Matthew is writing here about how do we do this hard work of living out that good news that we all know? How do we do the hard work of living this out within our community? Another way to think of this is, how does our community look different because of God's love for us? How do our relationships with one another look different? How do we deal with conflict? And the answer to all of this begins with the reassurance from Jesus that Kelsey was talking about, that he will be there with us in it. Even when it's hard. Even when we're in conflict with one another, Jesus promises, I will be there. Anytime that you're gathered together, I will be there. Even when it's only two or three of you, even when you're in disagreement with one another, I will be there with you. In our struggles, in our conflict, we are promised that whenever we are gathered together as people of faith, Jesus is right there with us. So how might that change our approach to dealing with each other when we're frustrated or angry or just locked in disagreement? How might we communicate differently if we remembered that Jesus is sitting right there with us? Then, after this promise to be there with us, Jesus also gives some directions, simple ways for faithful people to deal with conflict. Simple. Go and talk to each other. Go and talk to each other. Don't avoid each other. Don't be passive aggressive. Don't spread rumors or complain to other people. Talk to each other directly. The person that you are upset with, the person who has wronged you in some way, go to them and talk to them about it. And if that doesn't work, bring some friends, people from the community, people that you both can trust. Have outside parties there who are not in the middle of the conflict with you themselves, but who can be a listening ear to both parties. People who can hear what you both have to say and help you find some common ground. It's a wonderful strategy. It also can help provide some safety and security when there are hard feelings. It provides that protective barrier, you know, people behave better when they have an audience. And also, having people who care about both parties being there as a loving presence to bear witness and keep things from getting out of hand. Then if that doesn't work, Jesus says to bring in the entire community, which granted gets harder the bigger your community is, but the idea is bring in more support. Surround the conflict with more love and encouragement from the community. Hold both parties accountable and work together towards reconciliation. Then, if the person who is in the wrong refuses to acknowledge or address the problem, even after all of this support from the community has worked with them towards reconciliation, then Jesus says that person is like a Gentile or a tax collector. Now think about what that means. The person who persists in harm and persists in, even in the face of efforts towards reconciliation, persists in this wrong behavior, they're no longer a safe and welcome person within the community. But how are tax collectors and Gentiles treated in Scripture? Are they outside of God's love? Does Jesus go to them and share the good news? 100% yes. So even in these circumstances, when someone persists in their wrong and harmful behavior and refuses reconciliation, while they may no longer be a safe person to have within the community, that does not put them outside of God's love or God's grace. And it does not put them outside our call to act with love towards them, to share the love that we have been given. So even in holding one another accountable, even when setting hard boundaries, we are called to do so with love and with kindness. This is how we are called to be as a community of faith. This is how we are called to function, to talk to each other. When we have a problem with one another, deal with it directly. Hold each other accountable, but do so with love. Help and support one another as we work together to live out God's love in our relationships and in our community. This is just one more way that we can live out the command to love one another. And when we do that here in our community, it strengthens us to better be able to go out and share that love with our neighbor out in the world. It strengthens and encourages us to better go out and share the amazingly good news that we have received, the amazingly good news that God loves you. God loves you, and you are called to share that love out in the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.